You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
It's DCR.
That one is laced into right field. On the run is Wade. He's there. And they are one out away from a no-hitter.
I had to take breath and calm myself down a little bit.
Ground ball to Gleyber Torres.
I had butterflies in that ninth inning.
And that'll do it. A no-hitter for Corey Kluber.
So much fun to be a small part of.
I mean, this is a guy who's won multiple Cy Youngs. I mean, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
It's a hell of an accomplishment to be able to do that.
It truly was a privilege.
On a Wednesday night in Texas, Kluber becomes part of forever.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm sure you know of it. Do either of you know the Gong Show? Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Rick, do you know the Gong Show?
I do know the Gong Show, yep.
Okay. So I have stumbled across something on MLB.com. High frequency, 10 incredible, it says, no-hitter facts. I'd like to start to read through them. When you feel like it's not good anymore, you gong me and we're done.
Okay.
All right. 10 more stats about Kluber's no-hitter. Now, I think we know this, but this is remarkable. Number one, there have been 6 no-hitters this season, the most we've ever seen before June in a single season. 4 of them have come this month, tying June 1990 for the most no-hitters in a calendar month in MLB history. There are still 12 days remaining before the calendar flips to June. Interesting stats, right?
That's a good one.
We move along with number 2?
Yep.
Like that kind of party?
All right, party good so far. The last 4 no-hitters have all come in the last 15 days, tied for the most no-hitters in any 15-day span in MLB history. 1917, there were 4 in a 13-day stretch from April 24th through May the 6th, according to Elias. Good?
Good. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Number 3, there's been a definite pattern to the no-hitters this season. The teams they've come against. 2 pitchers have no-hit Cleveland. 2 pitchers have no-hit Seattle. And now 2 pitchers have no-hit Texas as well, with the Padres' Joe Musgrove having beaten Kluber to the punch on April 9th, also at Globe Life Field. Good stat. You like
another
that?
One. Yeah, another yep. good one.
Okay. Number 4. Coming into 2021, only 5 teams have ever been no-hit twice at home in the same season. Ironically, the team that went to the World Series, the 2015 Mets, the 2001 Padres, the 73 Royals, the 71 Reds, and the, as we all remember, the 23 A's. Less than 2 months into the season, 2 more teams have now joined that list, the Mariners and the Rangers.
Yeah, not like as that? Good. Not as good.
Yeah, close.
You can gong me.
Get
I can
close.
Be done.
Yeah. Gonged.
Close to the gong. I'll give you one more.
Okay. You can gong me. It's fine. Number 5, Kluber's no-hitter was the 12th in Yankees history, including the postseason, but the team hadn't thrown one since July 18th of 99 when David Cone threw a perfect game against the Expos. That was the 8th longest drought of any team entering the night. In fact, the Yankees had not even come close to a no-hitter in recent years, according to Yes Network. Phil Hughes in 2010 was the last Yankee to even carry a bid through the 7th inning.
Pretty good.
That was better. Yep,
I think that was a good one.
That was better.
If you gong me on that, I would be disappointed.
No.
Yeah. Like that kind of party?
That's a good party.
Take it.
Number 6. This, I don't know. This could be it. The only connection, that's not the only connection, rather, to David Cone. At 35 years and 39 days old, Kluber becomes the first pitcher to throw his first career no-hitter at an age of 35 or older since David Cone in 1999.
Okay.
Some symmetry.
That's solid.
There.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Not terrible.
Like that kind of party.
Yep, we continue to party here. Number seven. I don't think I'm going to make it through 10, but we'll see. Number seven, Kluber threw 101 pitches, tied for the third fewest in any individual no-hitter since 2015. Lucas Giolito also threw 101 pitches in his no-no last season against the Pirates. The only pitchers with fewer pitches in a no-hitter in that span, Edison Volquez, who I had no recollection threw a no-hitter, and James Paxton back in 2018.
Okay.
No, that's fringe. That's
yeah,
fringe.
I'm not gonging you for that, but that was
listen, fringe. I'm not making up the rules. You guys
keep it rolling, Dave. Keep it rolling. What we got? Okay. We got anything up?
I got three more. I won't make it through all of them.
Okay.
Number eight. Kluber, of course, is one of the most accomplished pitchers of his generation. Despite being a late bloomer, he debuted at age 25, didn't pitch his first full season until 27, entered the game last night with two Cy Young Awards to his credit. Kluber, who won with Cleveland in 2014 and 17, is one of 21 multiple-time Cy Young winners in history. He's now one of 14 to also throw a no-hitter, an illustrious list that includes three other active pitchers, Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, and Justin Verlander.
That's rare air right there. That's pretty
good.
So we
like that one.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, he couldn't.
That's pretty
good.
All
right. Take it.
Wow. We might make it here. Number nine. While this was Kluber's first no-hitter, it was hardly his first gem. The righty has 18 career complete games, which is amazing that he's so good and he only has 18, and 8 shutouts, tied with Kershaw for the most. This was his 11th complete game allowing 3 hits or fewer, the most in Major League Baseball over that span. That includes a one-hitter when the Twins' Joe Mauer homered to spoil a potential no-no back in 2015.
I think we can gong you there.
Gong me there?
Yeah, I think we gong you there.
Not like a bit of a reach right there.
All right.
That wasn't your bad. I mean, that wasn't. I mean, that's,
what do you mean it was?
That's fine.
How can you blame me? It wasn't my best. I'm reading
a
list.
Well, yeah, you're doing the list. You're reading it. So it's your baby. You brought it up. That wasn't the best one. We're gonging you.
Okay. That's fine.
I mean, how would you rate 10, though? Is 10 better than that? Because now, I'm
curious as to what the next one is.
No, I don't think it's great. All right,
good.
10's not long. Let me read you 10.
Here we go.
No?
No, yeah, read it.
No, read it.
All right. You want it.
Let me
10. Give it to you properly. It's a little hard to remember, it says. But Kluber actually was with the Rangers in 2020 following a December 2019 trade from Cleveland. But Kluber's tenure in Texas lasted just one inning on July 26 before an injury shelved him for the rest of the season. We knew that, but still, I think an interesting. And there you have it.
That's pretty good. I mean, of the 10, I would say really 7 real solid ones.
Yeah. Certainly worth getting into, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. Look at that.
Great find by you.
Thank you. This is what I see. You know, you guys don't realize that when you guys are having hijinks at the break, I'm scouring the internet looking for interesting tidbits and facts.
Early
that
risers.
I can bring.
Yes. We'll get work.
That's right.
It feels like it has more to do with, like, while we're actually talking is when you're surfing the web.
Oh, yeah, 100%, because he's not listening to us.
Uh-oh. Where are we going? Is this legitimate breaking news at 6:09 in the morning?
No, no breaking news. That was supposed to be something else.
You're probably going to start with that. Oh, my God. You accidentally played the caca.
I was scrambling to turn to play another clip, and I just accidentally hit the caca instead. It happens.
Yeah. It does happen.
All right, Dave. So I have the updated. Now, I don't know how updated this truly is. I'm going to take a shot here. So I told you in the first hour, because you asked how many complete games were. Mm-hmm. So this tweet was at 1:48 on the 19th. 1:48. So this is before the game, the Kluber game last night.
Now, who is this a legitimate source, this tweet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
This is Christopher Komka. Got the blue check mark and everything.
All right. Who is one Chris Komka?
That's a great question. I'm not sure, but he's got a check mark.
Sounds like a distant cousin.
Well, because I took a picture of it. Because I'm actually like, what I do now is if I see something, I take a picture on my phone and save it.
Really?
Yeah, that can go back to it.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
I have to, otherwise I lose.
I do it too.
Okay, so at 1:48, which is before the Kluber start, there had been 13 complete games in 9-inning games. And 5 of the 13 have been no-hitters. So if you would update that, there's been 14 complete games in 9-inning games, and 6 of them. So 6 of 14 complete games have been no-hitters. Now, if you want to throw in seven-inning complete games. There's been seven of those, and one has been a no-hitter in the seven. I mean, those are pretty. If you're pitching a complete game,
you're getting a no-hitter.
You're going to be flirting with a no-hitter. Yeah.
Yes. If you're allowed to go nine innings at this point, there's a pretty good chance that there's a better than 50% chance that you're going to be throwing a no-hitter.
It's pretty close. Yeah. That's pretty close to that number. Yeah.
Wow. That really is incredible, isn't it?
It is. I mean, did RJ send you the email? What Clayton Kershaw said about
I'm sitting here looking at it right now. Very interesting.
Why don't we read it? Why don't you guys read it?
No, why not? Because you have a sultry voice. You read it.
No,
it's not.
There's no salter there.
I feel like this falls under your purview, Dave. Like, this is something that you're supposed to do. Yeah. Because it's kind of like it's newsworthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're contractually obligated to read something.
But there's a lot of lines here. This is a real read.
No. It's like a little paragraph. Stop.
It's a lot. Maybe we could take turns. Like, I'll read a line, you read a line.
What are we, in elementary school?
we could read it like we're auditioning for a play. I think we should
Milo has a big play coming up, too, by the way. Big
really?
Play. Oh, yeah, just got his lines. And he's like one of the important characters, too.
What's the play?
Do you think he's going to get stage fright, or do you think he'll just roll out there and be great?
He answers the bell. Like, the more people are watching, the better he does. So I'm confident that he's going to show up.
He's a gamer. I like
he's
it.
He's a gamer. Yeah, not big into the practice, but you put those lights on.
He's like Allen Iverson.
Exactly right. He's like Shaq.
I don't want to practice.
Late for the set.
What's the play?
It's about, I don't know the name of it. It's about an author, and the author writes about animals. It's a real author, and he writes about animals. And the animals come to life, and they're like asking questions, and he comes in, and he's got to like answer questions to the animals. But he's the author.
He's the author.
In the play. Yes.
Does he have to dress like glasses and slick back hair and look very?
Yeah, we're gonna try. We got a picture of the author, the actual guy. So we're gonna try to dress him like a sweater vest. Yes, like glasses. Guy's got kind of wild hair too.
Really,
he's all into it though.
He's let himself go. This author.
Yeah,
right.
He's got a real wild look.
I like it. Spiked up hair. Now RJ says that you were gonna have the Kershaw audio in a moment.
Ooh, even better.
Right? So instead of me fumbling all over it and reading it, or us taking turns like a play, maybe we could just listen to what Kershaw has to say.
Yeah, I mean, you've tried this before where you impersonate somebody. Maybe you could do the read and try to sound like Kershaw.
That would be highly entertaining.
I don't know that I know what Kershaw sounds like just right off the bat. I'd have to hear Kershaw to be able to imitate Kershaw.
He's a Texas guy. Go with your Texas
fan.
He's been in L.A. for a long time, though.
Has been in L.A.
Yeah.
Yep.
Him and Stafford are close friends, right? Him and
yep.
They went to high school
boys,
together.
Yeah.
I think they played baseball together.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, big, kind of different edition of Getting to Know Your Co-host. We're going to relook at the last 100 shows that we've done in this 5 to 8 a.m. slot. And RJ is going to play point as the host, or maybe Raymond, but one of the guys is going to play point as the host. And the three of us are going to compete against each other.
Last time I checked, too, current standings, I believe I'm in first place.
Are you winning?
I am winning. That is correct, my friend.
That's unfortunate. That's because you had like a 5 overtime battle against me.
Epic.
Very impressive win. Very impressive win.
Brutal.
And then I beat you with the car. I mean, you didn't even get. Did you get a question right with Carlin?
Nope. Not one. But how would I know? How would I know any of them? He asks us all questions that we would have no idea. So all the ones you got right were sheer guesses.
I wouldn't say sheer guesses.
Stop it.
Listen to the show, though.
I do listen to every show.
Yeah, he does listen to
the
show.
I'm very dialed in.
Just saying.
He was asking us what band member did he get into a fight with in college?
I got that one right, actually. That was the Spin Doctors. I got that one right.
Yes.
Yeah, but you opened the door for this. Canty and I were under the impression when we started this thing, it was stuff we mentioned on the show.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you come on, and you got 3 of the 5 questions of stuff you've never said before.
Don't blame me.
Well, you started it.
Yeah, but at least I asked you some that you knew.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man.
He's too much. All right, Clayton Kershaw. He's not happy with what's going on around Major League Baseball, and here he is.
It's not good, I'll tell you that. I think whatever the intention was with the new ball or whatever it may be, it really hasn't done anything. There might be less home runs, which I guess they want, but I don't know the stats on all that. But I do know the strikeouts are the same, and I think I saw some stats for April that it was the worst hitting month in the history of something. So no hitters are cool, and no, like, you know, I have all the respect in the world for Corey Kluber and Bum and all those guys that have thrown no hitters, but to have one happen every night, it seems like is probably not good for the game. You know, fans want to see some hits, and I get that, and some action, and not many people striking out. So I appreciate the attempt that MLB has tried to do, but I think seems like they missed the mark so far. We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, he's killing it. He's a kind guy, so he's not going to kill it, but he's killing what's going on in Major League Baseball right now.
He's disgusted with Major League Baseball is what he is. Yeah, but listen, the last thing you want to do, too, in sports, maybe in anything, but sports in particular, is make your sport look too easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, people start taking it for granted. Like, I mean, to have as many, like, come back-to-back days, you got no hitters. We already got six. If you count Mad Bums, that's seven already. Like, that's where we're at in the sport. Because all of a sudden, you guys decided that we can't juice players because, you know, obviously, people don't like that. We have to suspend people, so we'll juice baseballs. And guys are hitting balls all over out of the park every 2 seconds. Then it becomes like, oh, God, I mean, that's enough is enough with the home runs. So we'll go the complete opposite. And we'll fix the baseball and make it move so much that nobody can hit it.
Nobody touches it. The Mariners are hitting less than 200.
But here's the thing. You're not taking away the incentive for players to try to hit home runs because that's what teams are paying guys to do.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's how they're constructing rosters. So even if you're Major League Baseball, you're tweaking the actual baseball so it's harder to hit home runs. That's still not going to keep guys from trying to hit home runs, which is going to make your sport, you know, a tough watch. It's not going to be as entertaining because guys aren't going to be able to put the ball in play. Guys aren't even going to be able to hit the ball over the fence anymore. Not at the rate that they were. So, I mean, the little entertainment value that your sport has had after the whole analytics movement, you're taking that away now.
Yeah.
So you're making baseball even harder to watch than it was last year or the year prior.
You've taken steps back. You're regressing in the game of baseball. Let's go to Gary in Jersey City. Good morning, Gary. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Been following you guys for a while. First time calling. Just wanted to bring up a couple of things. I don't think it's throwing shade on Kluber. Frequency diminishes amazing. It's just the nature of the game. If somebody hits 65 home runs, people are going to yawn. But that wasn't my main point. The question of injuries, I just did a quick search on Google. Magic Johnson, who's the same height as Judge, weighed 225 when he played. Judge weighs 270. The ideal weight, according to Google, for someone who's 6'8", is 215. So the fact that he bulks up and has the muscle and
215,
possibly the lower
215,
no way to the lower level.
They have those crazy
Magic
numbers.
Johnson never got hurt.
No, I understand, but he also didn't play. Listen, I'm not defending Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has always hurt. Giancarlo Stanton
Magic
has always
Johnson
hurt.
Magic Johnson died and then ridiculous. Came back to life.
Shut up.
Nobody had any idea that Magic was going to die.
Yeah, I'm a long ways off if 215 is the ideal weight for somebody that's 6'8".
Ideal weight for all these different heights, off. Though, it's insane.
Yeah, it's waist thin.
What are we trying to be, a jockey at the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, yeah. You'd be, I mean, you're like,
you look, I'm going to bring up the
obese
ideal
compared
weights.
To those things.
Right? I'm not going to make
those
it
are
to
huge fat people. No, I mean, that's not the ideal weight with those.
Dave's probably obese, too, at his weight.
Oh, absolutely.
I do periodic dieting.
So, Rick, how tall are you?
6 feet.
The ideal weight for you is 160 to 195.
No, impossible. I was 185. And I looked like I hadn't eaten in a month.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
I was at 185, and at one point, someone in the showers, one of my teammates, looked at me and was like, is that how you want to look? And I was like, why does it look bad? He's like, yeah, it doesn't look good. Because the doctor told me, the more I weighed, and I mean, this is to the caller's point, he said, the more you weigh, the more stress it's putting on all your joints. So you got knee and hip problems. The more you weigh, the more damage you're going to do to your joints. So I dropped. I was like, that's all I had to hear. So I went down to 185. And I was waif thin, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure you were gaunt.
Gaunt.
What are you, 6'8"?
6'8".
6'8", the ideal weight for 6'8" is between 203 and 248.
Those were huge fat people.
Yeah, I got no shot at getting down to that weight. No chance.
I'm 5'11". The ideal, I mean, come on. The ideal weight for 5'11" is between 155 and 185. If I
was fat at one point.
If I weighed 155, you'd have to check me into a facility.
You'd look like a flat Stanley.
I'd look like Karen Carpenter if I was 155.
You're right now, you're 50 pounds overweight.
Yes. I am 55 pounds overweight right now.
But that's part, I mean, that in all honesty, though, that with today's athlete and how they train and you know how explosive all these athletes are, I mean, your body's not meant to hold up.
Well, that's the thing, right, Rico? I mean, like, you can improve your muscle mass, but that's hard to. You're not making those ligaments stronger. You're not making those joints stronger. And when you have those explosive movements, when your body is going at that rate of speed, it makes it hard for those other parts that you can't strengthen to be able to keep up. And that's when you have injuries. And that's why guys are breaking down so much. But to something that you said, and you've been saying this for years, it's like you have to train for the sport that you're involved in. And sometimes that means cutting down on the muscle mass and improving flexibility and improving, you know, the efficiency of the specific movements that you're doing within your sport. Like that's how you can improve on your exit velocity, or that's how you can improve on what you're doing. Like, that's the science behind it. It doesn't have to be bigger, faster, stronger.
Look at Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, even like, and some guys get into this whole, like, being vain, and I get it, I understand it. Like, when you want to take, I mean, you take your shirt off, you want to look like a professional athlete. But a lot of these guys that stay, I mean, Eli Manning, he takes his shirt off. I mean, that's not, it don't look great.
No, it looks like dad bod.
It's a dad bod, but he stays
healthy.
But he's
always healthy.
But the guy was never hurt. It's amazing to me. You watch a hockey game, and the guys, I'm not saying never, but they often don't miss time with injury. You look at, like, Eli Manning, never missed time with injury. And then Aaron Judge can't run from first to home. Without Giancarlo Stanton, you can't send him in certain spots because they're going to get hurt. It's
amazing.
Incredible to me.
No, I said it yesterday. You watch one of these baseball games. It happened again yesterday to the Yankees. Guy running to first, blows out his hamstring. It's like you watch on Sundays. You're like, how do these guys get it through an NFL game?
Right. I mean, receivers run how many miles during the course of a game? Corners are keeping up with guys, you know, changing on a dime, running mile after mile after mile, and they make it through the games. But you can't run from first to third on a base hit to the outfield?
We had a call that said, too, well, it's a stop-and-start sport. Well, I mean, is football not a stop-and-start sport?
It's a stop-and-start sport.
Well, of course, it's the definition of it. I mean, you literally get 40 seconds in between every time you're going to start again.
And here's the thing, Dave. If a play goes longer than 4 seconds, then something is really, really wrong if you're playing defense. Really, really wrong. I mean, you're talking about 2 or 3 second bursts, and that's it. But somehow, some way, guys find a way to stay out there. Now, a part of that is guys being incentivized to stay out there because we don't have guaranteed contracts, unlike baseball. But, I mean, you know, football players understand it. I mean, this we train for the movements that we're going to be doing. It's not necessarily just about, you know, trying to look good. It's about making sure that whatever we do in the off season is geared toward us trying to stay healthy for 16 games in the fall. I don't feel like they do that in baseball.
Could you imagine if Stanton's running first to third and someone just like blindsides him and tackles him?
When he gets the handoff from the third base coach, somebody just comes out of the dugout.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Just get leveled at the knees. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's turn our attention to the NBA. We'll do that next, and then you have your segment today. Nobservations and DHIF is coming up at 6:45 this morning.
Yeah, multiple DHIFs too, multiple.
Oh, now, here's the thing. Last week, when you did one DHIF, and I was like, is there only one? You're like, there's only ever one, Dave. I never do multiple.
Yeah, you asked for it, so I gave it to you. I don't normally do. Like, when I would just do Did It Happen in Florida, I would have multiple Did It Happens in Florida. But now we've put it into one segment. And I don't have time.
Now it's only one, is what you're saying.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
All right, normally, I'll take as many as I can get.
But when you tell me that you want it.
I do. I love it.
Then I got to give it to you, so I'm going to give you two.
Take
it to you whenever you want.
Take it.
Yeah, and I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll
you
run
want it. Let me give it to you properly.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Observations and DHIF ready to go. How much time do you need? Do you need a good solid 12 minutes? How much time do you actually
need?
No,
I don't need 12. No, I don't need 12. No.
What do you need?
Everybody needs 12. Everybody needs 12.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do. I wouldn't know what to do with 12, to be honest.
So what do you need, 4 minutes? Like, what would be normal for you? Four? Six?
4 minutes? No, that's still... Give me 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Okay. Be happy with 8.
Okay.
Take some calls here. Get a little NBA.
All right. You want to hear the Knicks schedule for the series?
I do. Oh, okay. Do I want to hear the Knicks schedule? Come on.
All right. This is only 8 years in the making. Game one, this Sunday, at the Garden, 7 o'clock Sunday evening, TNT broadcast.
Ooh, that's going to have ESPN. A lot of juice. That's going to have a lot of juice. 7 o'clock on Sunday night?
7 o'clock Sunday night. Thank God this is not like an 8:30 start. 7 o'clock, very manageable.
That game, is prime time, Dave.
Game two, Wednesday. So there's no travel, and there's 2 days off in between games one and two. Game two, Wednesday, May 26th, 7:30. TNT, and also right here on 98.7 ESPN.
I like that for the Knicks.
I love it for the Knicks. I love that. You got to think 2 days. 2 days Barrett, to plan.
Oh. Yeah, Barrett, huge minutes. D. Rose, play him big minutes.
Yep. Now you travel, but only get the 1 day off. Next Friday, the start of Memorial Day weekend, May 28th in Atlanta, 7 o'clock. Game on ESPN. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN, as you can with every Knicks postseason game. Then the 1 day off, a matinee on Sunday, May 30th, 1 o'clock, ABC in Atlanta, Game 4. I don't have times moving forward here. But Game 5 would be Wednesday, June. So you'd have another 2 days off for the Knicks and the Hawks coming back to New York Wednesday, June 2nd. Don't have a time for that. Game 6 would be Friday, June 4th. Game 7, of course, all these are, if necessary, Sunday, June 6th. So it starts this Sunday and would last potentially up to 2 full weeks to Sunday, June 6th.
Listen, there's not a lot about the schedule that I don't like. I actually like the fact going to Atlanta, you don't have much time. You don't want to get into those lemon pepper wings, get yourself in trouble. A lot of trouble.
I tell you, I actually feel good that the Knicks would not get themselves into trouble.
No, I do too. I was making a joke. I mean, there's if you're looking for trouble, you can get yourself in some trouble in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that from personal experience. Oh, yeah. I feel like as a fan, I'm going to need these couple days in between some of these games with how the series is going to play out.
Now you got to win game one.
You feel like you're going to go through an entire range of emotions.
Oh.
A lot of ups and downs.
This did not feel like a series that could go. This could very easily go 7 games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would be stunned if this series didn't go at least 6. Stunned.
Oh. Close games, too. Like one possession games.
Oh. Yeah. You're going to need to take ulcer medicine. I'm going to get so stressed out during these games.
Yeah, but I think that's why I love the fact they got a couple of days off with no travel in between games one and two. Because, I mean, it gives Tibbs and this Knicks team an opportunity to break down game one and then make any adjustments. And you got to like the advantage with the Knicks in terms of being able to, you know, break down opposing teams if you have that time. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like with Bill Belichick or Andy Reid with a bye week. Like, I feel that way about Tibbs because he is a basketball lifer. If he has the opportunity to put this Hawks team under a microscope after seeing, you know, how his approach plays out in game one, I just feel like that's advantage Knicks. I really do.
Yeah, get a taste, too. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the Knicks that, I mean, you're relying on that they don't have any postseason experience, right? Mm-hmm. So get your first
Hawks
taste.
Hawks are similar to that, though.
Yeah, but I mean, get your first. I don't care about them. I'm focused on my team. Get your first taste. Like, you'll be emotional. Like, those guys that haven't played in the postseason will be emotionally drained after game one.
You know what's nice also? 13,000 people at the Garden on Sunday.
Hello.
Right? We've had no one, and then we had up to 5,000, and 5,000 had an impact. You're gonna actually have a legitimate home court now, a home court advantage in the postseason. You get 13,000 people at the Garden.
Dave, 13,000 is going to sound like 40,000.
Yep.
I have no doubt about it in my mind, especially with the 7 o'clock tip on Sunday night. I mean, that is prime time. Those fans are going to be ready to go.
Rick, I think you should debut your first solo show after the game.
No.
I think it'd be great.
I'll be in a
Addo
dude. Keefe
on the post game finishes like 10:30. You give us a 10:30 to midnight, and then we revisit this thing at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Emotionally, I wouldn't be able to do it. I couldn't do it.
I'm not offering. But if I said to you, let's do 10:30 to midnight together on Sunday night, would you do it?
And then do our show on Monday?
And then do our show at 5 o'clock.
If you asked me to do it, I would probably do it, yeah. I did it with the Rangers. They asked me, and I'm not even a Rangers fan. They had me and Alan doing Rangers post games. Like when the Rangers made a run in the playoffs, we'd go on to do Rangers.
Yeah, but you
weren't
waking
shows.
Up at 3:30 in the morning when you were doing that.
No, not that early. Early though, I think. But I don't know what time we've been at every time, so I don't even know. Who knows what time we're at?
RJ says we should be careful what we offer because we will be taken up on it very quickly.
Yeah, I would keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Because you'll get the sounds great coming from the speakers. Oh, by the way, any interest in doing this?
I heard from the speakers that you're willing to do a show after. I will tell you this, though. I would make this offer. If the Knicks were to win a game 7 on Sunday, June 6th, and they needed someone to host, if they win it, someone to host for a couple hours after, I would do that.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake, what you just did there.
Why? I don't care.
Because it's going to happen.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Oh, all right. Well,
if I could guarantee you that the Knicks are going to win this series in 7 games, you wouldn't give up an hour and a half or 2 hours of your life to host that show?
No.
No?
No, because what you just said is a real possibility. Like, they just heard that. Now phone calls will be made, and then
That's fine.
You know it, ipso facto, you're doing a...
We're
ipso
doing
facto.
It, yeah.
Stop it. Stop. What? You don't even know what ipso facto means.
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
You were impressed how I used ipso facto.
I am. That's the second time you've used it, and I still don't think you know what it means.
Speaking of which,
what does
I got
it
a
mean?
I got a sneaky delivery the other day. So, package at the door. I'm like, it wasn't anything I ordered. So, open it without looking who it's from. Three t-shirts, all exactly the same. On the sleeve, on the chest, says ipso facto.
What?
On the sleeve, it says... I think it says DCR on the sleeve. On the back, I've done what I came to done.
Nice.
Wait, I've done what I came to done.
Who got your home address, though?
My dad did it.
Oh.
Nicely done.
That is well done.
Well done by him. Yeah,
that's a great job.
I know.
Now, here's what I'd like to know. Because I'm a big fan of your dad. I think he's a great guy. We had great conversations at the golf outing a couple years ago at Canty's event. Why did he not make these shirts for Canty and I?
No, why, I said there was three. Yeah, he did.
Oh, I thought they were all for three. You. So also yeah. For the three of us.
The three of us. I don't think... I'm not sure Chris is going to fit because he got extra larges.
I was holding my breath. I was hoping.
So wait a minute. I get an extra large, you get an extra large, and Chris gets an extra large?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
not going to work.
Thinking that
yeah, we're going to try to stop Chris
work
into
out
it.
For Chris.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That's a t-shirt for the fiance to sleep in.
Yeah. That was the only criticism I had. I said, t-shirts look great. I just don't understand why we did... But he struggles with his stuff though. He's brutal with that stuff.
No, I'm not gonna destroy your dad. Your dad went out of his way, had specialty t-shirts made, and you're gonna give him a hard time?
No, but I'm just saying I didn't give him a hard time. I just it's something that he struggles with. Like this is a pattern now. Like I told you, like he bought Milo metal golf clubs when he was two. Like metal golf clubs at two, and he bought him golf shoes. Golf spikes. guess when Milo finally fit with the golf spikes.
He's Earl Woods.
Last month. So he's now six. So he bought him a present that has lasted four years unopened.
And he just broke it out. He you know what? He's playing the long game, is what your dad is doing. Now, mind you, when did you get these shirts delivered?
I just opened them yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you got them days ago and you just brought them
up. No, I just opened them yesterday.
Definition of ipso facto. Do we have it, by the way? Do you know it?
I didn't know you wanted it.
I want it. Give it to me.
Ipso facto. I'll give it to you. Let me look it up.
You want it. Let me give it to you. Properly.
There you go, Rico.
Take it.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
You had ipso facto.
Ipso facto is a Latin phrase directly translated as by the fact itself.
It's dumb. Fact. It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
Which means what?
Did you ask for the definition?
Yeah, by the fact itself. Fact of the matter, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, says by that very fact or act. As an inevitable result.
And how did you use it? Like what did you say?
The first time I used it, right? I'm not. I just used it to get into the whole T-shirt story.
Yeah. I have no recollection of how he used it initially, Dave.
And we don't know how you just used it.
I think I used it perfectly.
No, but I mean he's a Harvard guy, so why would we expect him not to be able to use that?
Beg to differ.
Yeah. I use words like weapons.
Mm-hmm. Like weapons.
Yeah.
You stabbed yourself in the leg. You don't even know what it means.
I weaponized these things.
Yeah, you weaponized.
I told you, that's like when Milbury asked me the same question. He was doing his meeting. He was punching the board, getting all like, you guys stink, and this is not a meeting, and he's punching the whiteboard. And then he threw a dictionary at me. And he's like, what's the definition of professionalism? And I said, of or pertaining to a professional.
Nice.
Oh, he must have loved that.
Nice.
Oh, no, he snatched the dick. He's like, he swore at me. He's like, you effing idiot. Give me that dictionary.
What a surprise that is. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com and do it today. Ipso facto, here we go. It's an observation.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations. We could have called it Rick's observations, but you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, fellas, here we go. Thursday edition. Knobservations, a little DHIF. Before we get started with the actual knobs, I always like to throw in a little tasty little nugget.
Nuggets.
Came across this the other day. Did you know that Larry Fitzgerald has more career tackles than drops?
That's wow. A nice nugget. That's nice nugget. Huh? Wow.
He's got 41 tackles. He only has 30 drops.
41 tackles? How does he have 41 tackles?
If you look at the list of quarterbacks he played with out in Arizona, you can understand why.
I guess it's all
off
interceptions, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Interception. Another excellent point that guy
Chris.
Down.
Yeah.
Another terrific point by Chris.
Yeah.
All right, here's a good idea for people out there. When you're going to attempt to steal a car, you probably don't want to try to steal Derek Lewis's car.
Mm-mm. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea.
So Ariel Helwani actually tweeted, Derek Lewis tells me he noticed a man trying to break into his SUV this morning. He knocked the man out. Then the police came and apprehended him.
His nickname is the Beast. Why would you do that?
Well, I don't think that the guy trying to steal the car knew it was his car.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, just look at Derek Lewis.
Here's what I imagine. Derek Lewis is not there. Guy sees a nice car available for the taking. He tries to take it. Derek Lewis comes now out of wherever he was, and then he realizes, oh, God, this was a mistake.
You ever heard of the phrase being too good to be true? That's exactly what that car was for that carjacker. Too good to be true.
Yeah. Could you imagine that? If you start to try to steal a car, and on the other end of it is Derek Lewis.
Ready to go night-night?
It's a bad
ready to go night-night.
He's probably like, where are the police when you need them?
Right.
Yes. Come on.
He's calling 911. I'm trying to steal this guy's car. It was a mistake.
Please get here quickly. He's going to kill me.
More Derek Lewis news. So he was asked, who would play him in a movie about his life? He says John Travolta.
Love it.
Oh, my God. Oh, maybe Adele Dazeem could be the stunt
double. Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
Dave, did you know this? Because you're a huge, humongous Jeopardy fan.
Oh, boy.
Do you know?
I didn't see last night's episode, by the way. Don't ruin
it
for me.
No, I know. I know. And here's another thing, though. The point you made yesterday was a good point. Oh, these are hard questions.
Yep.
Well, they had to be hard. Otherwise, you'd lose respect for the champions if they were easy questions.
It's valid. Yep.
Yeah, valid. Can you guess who set the record for lowest ratings by a guest host?
It's a good question.
Up next, what Clayton...
I'm going to say Bill Whitaker.
Bill Whitaker. Christopher Kenny, you're a Jeopardy guy.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to go Katie Couric.
We have Anderson Cooper.
Really?
Really?
Anderson Cooper. Hmm. Yep.
But you know why? Because he's political.
Yep.
And I think that people are turned, because he's obviously a CNN guy, and I think he turns off a lot of people around the country. So, yeah, that does make sense.
He's not going to get that gig. Not going to happen for him.
He's not going to get
that. No, here's another unfortunate story.
And I think the Rodgers ratings were really good.
I mean, how many NFL people that don't usually watch Jeopardy tune in just to see if he'd be any good at it?
I'm sure a ton.
Oh, a lot of people, yeah.
A ton of people.
Yep.
Here's some more unfortunate news. This is not what you want. So Anthony Johnson had a huge knockout win over Jose Augusto in his Bellator MMA debut on Saturday.
The debut.
And on Saturday, he was arrested by Connecticut police. Yeah, it is not great.
Well, what'd he do?
He was charged with third-degree identity theft after allegedly using a credit card stolen from a Fairfield County resident.
Oh, no.
Dates back to November 2019, a warrant was obtained for his arrest. And then, because the fight was in Connecticut, he returned back to Connecticut. The illegal use of the credit card was used to purchase a round-trip airline ticket from Fort Lauderdale to Newark, New Jersey. And the name on that ticket was, of course, Anthony Johnson.
Oh. That's so
you go from
for him.
Humongous win in your debut, or your debut, to all of a sudden now being arrested.
It was a big debut, and it...
Big debut.
And then it was a big taboo.
That went poo-poo real quick.
Yeah, poo-poo won the debut.
All right, can we guess? Any guesses? New study. The most tattooed sports team logo is... Most tattooed sports team logo.
Dallas Cowboys star.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same
Dallas
thing.
Dallas Cowboys.
Which is a monumental mistake. But I'm
you guys are incorrect.
Thing.
You guys are both
incorrect.
Well,
give us another chance. Give us another chance.
Give me. I'll give you one more guess.
Okay, Raiders.
Nope.
Boston Celtic?
Nope.
What sport?
Hockey.
Hockey. Maple Leafs.
Correct. The Toronto
yes!
Maple Leafs.
Wow.
All right. So we're all looking forward to boxing fans. You're going to get Fury Joshua, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking crazy. Like the site fee was, last time I checked, I think it was $155 million.
Wow.
To have the fight in Saudi Arabia, right? So everyone's looking forward to that. Can't wait. Remember when you go back, the Wilder Fury, there was a clause that would kick in for a third fight, another fight, Wilder Fury.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been ruled by an arbitrator that that has to happen. So Joshua Fury on hold, Wilder Fury now back on. So there was some talk that they would pay. I mean, the only way to get out of this is you have to pay Tyson Fury to go away and not have the fight. Has no interest. So this is his new trainer, Malik Scott. He declined. He has no interest in step-aside money. Y'all dealing with a whole different type of MF-er over here. He wants the blood, not that step-aside money. Retribution is upon us.
Wow.
Wow, that's strong.
He wants
that's real
fight.
Strong.
That's nice.
So what does Fury say? What a joke Deontay Wilder's become. Looks like I have to crack his skull again.
Oh, God.
I like Tyson Fury.
I do, too. He demolished Deontay Wilder.
That was stunning. What
demolished
he did
there,
yeah.
him. I mean, that was bad.
All right, Dave, one last one for you. This will put you in a good mood. No, it won't. This is Eagles quarterback. I love this. No. I know Candy's going to love it. So they asked him about competition at all the positions, even quarterback. He says, I know rent is due every day, and when that rent is due, I don't plan on missing no payments. A little Jalen Hurts action for you.
That's great. Now let me ask you this. Other than you wanted to stick it to me with the Eagles quarterback, how is that an observation worthy?
I wanted to be the knob in the situation.
You wanted to be the knob.
I turned myself into the actual knob.
I see what you've
see
done.
See what I'm saying?
Ipso facto, you're the knob.
Yes! Ipso facto, I'm
Very
the
well
knob.
Done. Very well done.
All right. Santa, give me the DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
A man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's start with a little Did It Happen in Florida. I got a two-piece for you. We'll start with this one because it's topical. We talked about yesterday how we've had a couple different stories on DHIF of people that were declared dead and then just popped up to life. Well, it happened again. This is a 20-year-old Detroit woman was declared dead and discovered later to be very much alive. Very much alive when her body was sent to the funeral home. Got all the way to the funeral home before it was noticed that she was still alive. So... Fire department released a statement, 7:34 a.m. They showed up. Paramedics arrived at the home. Unresponsive female. When paramedics arrived, they found the 20-year-old woman not breathing. They performed CPR and other life-saving techniques. And then, because there was no breathing, they pronounced her dead. To the point where they sent her all the way to the funeral home to be embalmed.
Wow.
At which point, she came back to life. Luckily. I still don't understand. How is that possible?
I don't know how it's possible either. It makes no sense to me.
By the way, this should still be observations. And I'll
I know why, Dave, but let's just let it play out.
Did I tell the story already?
No. Go ahead and finish. Let's
first
finish
time
up.
I've ever heard the story.
Yeah.
Is it? Or are you lying?
Yeah, no, this is the first time we've both heard this story.
Yeah.
This is new to us.
I feel like you guys are playing me here.
No, we're not. You played yourself, though.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Damn, I played myself. All right. Well, ipso facto, she's still alive. Did it happen? In Florida.
I'm going to say no, it did not.
It did not
what did
happen
I say?
In Florida. You said a Detroit woman.
Oh.
A Detroit woman.
Yeah, what are you doing?
You told us that.
I was trying so hard not to say it, too, because it's all over
you
the place.
You said it right off the bat.
Right off the top.
You said
I did,
what
didn't I?
What is he doing?
You did.
Idiot.
A Detroit woman.
Love it. Love it.
Now they're dead.
Love it. D-Hip and observations all around.
Oh, yeah,
love
you're it. The mob today.
I will not rest.
All right, but you said you have another one.
Yeah, I do.
That, so that make was up for it.
But see what I did there? I merged the two stories into one.
I like it.
Very well done.
Here we go. Did this happen in Florida?
Try not to reveal it to us before you.
Yes, I won't. Yeah. I apologize. In an attempt, desperate attempt, to make her ex-boyfriend jealous, a woman faked an elaborate wedding to get revenge on her old flame.
I respect this.
You respect this?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So she rented out a villa, rounded up her friends to play the roles of bridesmaids. She posted the pictures on her Instagram, and she was certain that her ex would see him. She wasn't wrong. She found out he found out through her Instagram and texted her the next day and freaked out because he thought that she'd been cheating on him the entire time they were together.
Wow.
She's over it now. Since then, she's now blocked and deleted him from her social media and now has her new life as she moves forward.
With her fake boyfriend.
With her fake boyfriend and her fake bridesmaids and her fake villa and her fake wedding. Did this get back take place in beautiful Florida?
Mm. See, now you didn't tell us the answer to this one. Chris, what
no,
are you thinking?
Thank God.
I'm thinking Florida, Dave. This,
ooh,
this,
Florida.
This has a Floridian feel to it.
This is a 20-year-old Detroit woman. Oh.
I'm going to...
This is a 20-year-old Detroit woman.
It's great. Oh, it's great.
I'm going to say not Florida. I will go not Florida.
Santiago, I could see you doing something like this. Did this happen in Florida?
It's just so elaborate. I feel like it's too much for somebody.
But if you're going to do something, why not go all the way and do it?
Yeah, go all out.
Go through with the whole fake wedding?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Florida.
You could hire Dave to do it.
I'm going to go with Florida.
Wow, two Floridas. Dave Rothenberg is correct. That was not Florida. That was in Germany. That is a German woman.
Now, are we bearing the lead here, by the way?
What?
You could see Santiago doing something like this?
Yeah, I could see him faking a wedding or something.
Faking a wedding?
I don't have that level of dedication. No way.
No, I could see it. Like, yeah, you know, hire, you know, have me do the wedding. We film it. Have some fake
groomsmen. Would you perform a fake wedding?
The thing that stood out to me is
I wouldn't. You would.
Having all the bridesmaids. Like, you have all your friends committed to it. That's a lot. That's a lot of trouble.
They're all on board.
Would
those
you
are good
attend,
friends. Those
would
are
you
good
attend
friends.
A fake wedding? Would you go there as like a prop, an extra seat filler, just to try to sell this through?
As long as they had free booze and free food, sure.
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
Mm-hmm. So you're a good friend.
I absolutely would.
This is a 20-year-old whole wedding. I got hors d'oeuvres and everything. I'm going for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All right, there you go, boys. That is a Thursday in Observations D-Hip.
All right, very well done outside of handing away one of the D-Hips. Otherwise,
this is a 20-year-old Detroit woman.
Yeah, yeoman's work.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.